This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network's studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida. Well, I am so happy today. I have a wonderful author on, but before I introduce her, I just want to remind you that I do appreciate everyone who goes to my Facebook page and likes me, because I like you. It's Radio Joy on Paper. If you would go there, take a second and just like me. The more likes I get, the happier I am. So if you could do that. But now I want to go straight to my guest today. Jamie Brenner is an award-winning author, best-selling author, and I am so thrilled that her latest book, Just in Time for Summer, came out. And I want to talk to her about this book. It's called The Husband Hour, and I am particularly thrilled because it's just in time here for Memorial Day, because I love the dedication. So, Jamie, are you there?
I'm here, Patsy. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, as I said, one thing, I made a terrible mistake with this book and with this interview, because just before the program, I had some time here. Usually I'm rushed and I don't have too much time, but I had some time and I sat and I read the last few pages again, and it is so emotional. And so by the time I step here behind the microphone, you know, I have tears running down my eyes, because it really is, it is a beautiful ending. And
thank you.
You grab people's heart with this ending. But we'll go to the very, very beginning, because as I said, we have Memorial Day coming up. And can you tell us about the dedication?
Sure. So I dedicated the book to military men and women and their families because, you know, for the past decade and a half, more maybe, you know, we go about our day-to-day lives, but our country has been dealing with a lot of conflict. And my father is a Army veteran. I grew up in the 70s in the shadow of the Vietnam War, and I've just always been very aware of the sacrifice people have made for this country. And I never had the opportunity to really explore it in fiction before. I know in some ways it's an unexpected marriage between that and a beach book, but it's something that has really been a part of my mind and heart for a long time. So I was happy to find a way to explore it in a family story.
Well, you've done a beautiful job.
Thank you.
There are two subjects in here that are very emotional, and yet you've blended them in with this very complicated family story that, you know, we call it a beach book, but, you know, it is so... it is so rich and it is so full. Sometimes people think a beach book won't, you know, have any depth, but boy, you have proven that a beach book can have a great deal of depth, a great deal of beauty. Your writing is really lovely, and an important story too.
Thank you very much. Well, that means a lot to me. And I have to say, you know, it's challenging sometimes to get everything to fit the right way, tonally, subject-wise, but I do love family stories. I do love emotionally real stories. And I find that, you know, life is a mix of the happy and the sad, the challenging and the rewarding. And setting a family story or dramatic emotional story at the beach gives me an easy way to add some lightness and fun and beauty. And I think that's why we go to the beach. We love the beach because it does that for us in real life. And I like trying to do that in fiction as well.
Well, you know, I broadcast here out of Clearwater, Florida. So we live our life here on the beach. And so it's wonderful to know that people can be reading this book all year round.
Oh, well, I envy anyone who can read on the beach year-round, trust me. I write the book in the middle of winter in New York City, so this is very much fantasy wish fulfillment for me, mentally being on the beach, because that is not my my experience most of the year.
Well, okay, let's talk about the book. It's called The Husband Hour, and do you want to explain to my listeners the characters. It's told from several points of view. As I said, it is complex, but the basic story revolves around Lauren and her husband. So what do you want to tell readers about it?
So Lauren, my heroine is Lauren. She's a woman in her 20s who married her high school sweetheart. They were this golden couple. He went on to be a pro hockey player. Everything was great. And then he decided he wanted to enlist in the military, that he was looking for something. And he ends up dying. And the book opens with Lauren dealing with this loss, and her way of dealing with it is to run to her family beach house, seeking the comfort of her childhood summer memories, solitude. She wants to be alone. But she is not left alone. She's tracked down by her somewhat meddling mother, her sister, her father, and ultimately she is tracked down by a documentary filmmaker who wants to tell her husband's story. And this is the last thing she wants. But he says to her, just give me an hour. Just give me an hour. And 1 hour of her time turns into two, turns into a whole summer of revelations. And that's where I got the title, The Husband Hour.
Now, of course, the husband, Rory, was a hockey player. And here we're in the Tampa Bay area with the everybody's crazy about hockey right now. So this is a big subject, a very big subject. And one of the things, of course, sometimes people don't realize, you know, we hear about brain injuries with football players. But, of course, hockey is a very, very, very dangerous sport. I come from Michigan, so I've been around hockey all my life. So I know that it can be very, very difficult for the players. So how did you decide to make him into a hockey player in the first place, which I think is you know, some people might have picked a football player, but I think having the hockey player, I think it adds a new depth that we, for people who don't know much about hockey, that's great. But then about the injuries, explain that.
Well, I grew up in Philly, so big Flyers fan, sorry. and so the Flyers were notoriously the Broad Street bullies. You know, lots of hitting, very tough guys. However, one of the earliest people to be diagnosed with this catastrophic brain injury posthumously was a Flyer named Larry Zeidel. And I mean, I had been hearing whispers of this stuff, and I knew that the hockey players are suffering just as much as the football players. But I have to say, the NHL is the only pro sports league that refuses to acknowledge the connection between repetitive concussions and this CT brain injury. So that bothered me. I really love this sport. I respect these guys. And it was just something that I wanted to talk about. So I chose hockey because that's my favorite sport. However, the idea of a pro athlete turned soldier came from a real life guy who was a football player, and that's Pat Tillman. He famously played, I'm pretty sure it was Arizona, and he walked away from his contract to enlist after 9/11. And it was a shocking thing to do. He became really like the poster boy for enlisting and the military action at the time, and he was tragically and famously killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. And that story really stayed with me for years.
So it resonated, and when you came out with this idea for the book, it was a great melding of subjects.
Yeah, I mean, my heroine's husband, you know, I wanted to look at really one of these alpha guys. I look at the men in our society, you know, our pro ball players, our athletes, the people that we put out there as invincible, as heroes. And I think, you know, who are the people behind this? What is the flip side of these sacrifices or these lifestyles? What is the family side of that story? What's it like to be married to them? What's it like to be the son or daughter of them? And that's what I wanted to explore. I'm fascinated by these figures in our culture, and I always look at things through the lens of family life. So that's how this all came together for me in The Husband Hour.
So now you had to do quite a bit of research into this subject. CTE is chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yeah,
we say that, which is basically a degenerative brain disease that is found in athletes and in military people. So, you know, it is very, you know, I was a kickboxer, but we never did any, we never did anything to our heads, you know, which I like, which is why I liked kickboxing. We didn't kick anybody in the head. But so tell us, how did you go about doing this research and meeting with people who might have CTE?
Well, so interestingly, when I was embarking on this book, the research started coming to me, because as I'm writing this, all of these articles start coming out. New York Times, Boston. It seemed every other day there was a new study, a new report, a new athlete who had unfortunately died and had, been diagnosed with this posthumously. So I did not have to dig very deep for this. I found it inescapable. Brian Gumbel's Real Sports did a whole piece on this specific to hockey. There was a book that came out called Game Change by a former multiple Stanley Cup winner about this. So it is out there. And I read and read and watched. And there's even more I could have said, but I had to temper it with the task of writing what's essentially a family story in a beach book. But it's interesting and it's important. And I encourage anyone who has any interest in this to look into it as well. It should be talked about more,
because it is actually quite frightening. And anybody who takes time to look at an X-ray of a normal brain and then brain of someone who has CTE, it's like it's frightening.
Yes, it is. And you know, the thing is, this is preventable. And you know, there's things in life that aren't preventable, and there's things that are. And I think it's unfortunate that there's any resistance on the part of these pro sports leagues to do whatever it takes to prevent this from happening. But I think there's a big movement now. Eric Lindros, a former Flyer, a former Ranger, has been very active in making changes in Canada, and I think it's unavoidable that we're going to see these same changes taking place here.
Because as for us, as more and more, you know, men are, and women, but all the women, I hope, aren't as in deep combat, they get this injuries and they come home, and it's so difficult for their families. And the way you touch upon this subject in the book is I think very, very, you know, gently but very compellingly.
Thank you.
So now there's also in this story there are, we don't want to give away things, because what I did like is that there were these layers upon layers, that we met the family, we met Lauren and her sister Stephanie and her parents. So each of them have their own story, and it really, really is very moving to get to know these people.
Well, thank you. I've been talking about this book the past month or so since it came out, and what I've been telling people is I've been writing family stories the past few books, and I had intended with this novel really just to look at a marriage. But I found that I couldn't look at a marriage without also looking at the broader family. And it became a book about the role our parents and siblings play in our adult lives. And I think there's this idea that we grow up, we get married, we move on, But the bottom line is we still do need our family, our wider family. And I wanted to explore those kind of complicated but extremely vital relationships as well.
Well, you know, and there's some very wise philosophy in here, which I think is exactly why the book has a real staying power, because you do talk about just about relationships with parents, with mothers and fathers, and I don't know if you can say by heart that there's one paragraph that you wrote in the book, and it's about a sign that one of Henny's signs, which I think is so nice, nicely written, and one that people will go back to and want to think about. Can you say that from heart by your?
I literally just finished writing a whole other book.
I'm gonna read it then.
Okay.
Because I think it's just a perfect sentence or paragraph. A child will make love stronger, days shorter, home happier, clothes shabbier, the past forgotten, and the future worth living for. Wow. That's great. That was really.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, look, I think Henny is a character in the book who rents out her home like an Airbnb type situation, and the filmmaker stays with her. And Henny's kind of the sweet, kind of warm, loving balance to any of the other drama that's going on. And I have the idea to use those, like, painted wooden signs that you see in a lot of beach towns, like life's better in flip-flops, things like that, as a good way to express things like that sign about the value of children or the value of family, because ultimately that's what I'm trying to say with this story. You know, the challenges and rewards of unconditional love, the places we call home and what that means to us. So I did use as sort of a creative device the fact that this woman she creates these signs. They're hanging in the restaurant where Lauren works. And that was a way for me to convey a lot of the thematic things that I wanted my character to eventually understand, and also things I wanted the reader to come away with.
Well, I thought it's a great device. It was just
Thank
perfect.
You.
And as I said, that one in particular, I think that a lot of your readers are going to, I don't know if you actually, when you go to your book signings and your events, I don't know if you hand out cards, but I would recommend that you do that one as a card to hand out to people. Because
that idea, thank you.
Because I think it will be something that people will keep. Well, I'm always looking for marketing ideas for writers, by the way. I mean,
we'll talk after the show.
Yeah, you know, I had a girl who wrote a book, and she in the book one of the characters loves Elvis Presley and plays Elvis Presley songs, and she had never thought to actually, you know, for a big book fair, to have an Elvis impersonator with her. But the minute she does that, wow, you know, everybody wants to come and see her book. So, you need things like that. And I think this particular one, it's so beautiful that if you hand that out to people, they will be wanting to share it with others. And of course, the name of the game, because we are talking about books, is that we want to get your name out there so that you're just as famous, as Mary Higgins Clark. People hear that name and they know, you know, boy, we're going to have a book to read. And so we want to make Jamie Brenner a name that people will recognize, and they'll say, oh, that's my summer read is coming up because Jamie's written a new book. So I really think that would be the absolute perfect sort of your calling card to give out to people.
Patsy, I love it. You are hired.
Okay, well,
you're on board.
Okay, well, we're going to talk to Adam Cromie about that because
exactly.
Okay.
But actually, my agent Adam Cromie does talk about the fact that a good book and a story that stays with you is like a pillow or something that you have in your home that you want to keep with you, that means something, you know, larger than just the specifics of the story on the page. And I think he's absolutely right.
Well, he's I have to take a commercial break, but when I come back, I want to talk about Adam because I think he is the most wonderful, most brilliant, most gorgeous human being in the world. Because recently, you know, it's so funny. I of course, don't we all love literary agents? But it was so funny that last week I had Jenna King on, and mm-hmm. she wrote the book The Seasonaires.
Yes.
And of course, you know, Adam's her agent. And I don't know if you know the story, that Adam came to her with the idea.
Yes.
I mean, and I thought, any agent who comes to you, you know, to a writer with an idea is like, really, he's almost godlike. You know, that's how I look on him. So,
Patsy, my God, he's going to start charging me more commission.
Oh, that's where I'll come out with some more marketing ideas for him, and so he'll love us. Okay, so I'm going to take a quick commercial break, but then we come back. We're going to talk about Adam, about publishing industry, because you know a lot about it, and we have lots of things to talk about. We'll be right
back. Sounds good.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, PATZI, or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And I am back with my very, very special guest, Jamie Brenner, whose new book is called The Husband Hour. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Patsy.
Okay, well, I'm so happy to continue our talk about your book, which is, first of all, I love the cover. It's very, they brought it out as a beach book, and the cover is exactly that. It's really a great cover.
Yeah, I agree. The art department did a great job. And I have to say, that's how I sit on the beach, completely covered up with a hat. So I'm definitely a fan.
Okay.
Speaks to me completely.
Well, I think that, as I said, it is a beach book, a summer book, but it's so good. And I'm sure that people will be reading it all year round. But the subject is both touching and because it is a story about a very complex family and about a very important subject. And we do, as I mentioned earlier, it is Memorial Day weekend coming up. And I so want people to think about the sacrifices that our military, you know, go through and how very grateful we have to be to them.
I completely agree. And in the course of researching this book, I actually reached out to a woman named Tanya Bianc, and she wrote a nonfiction book called Military Wives, which was actually turned into a TV show. And she lives on a military base to this day with her husband, active duty. And she was incredibly generous with her time talking to me about the subject matter. She was one of the very early readers of this manuscript to make sure I was getting things right. Any errors are completely mine, not hers. But she was just wonderful. And, you know, there are a lot of people actively engaged in this sacrifice every day. And I want people to think about them. I think about them, you know, all the time. And I'm glad Memorial Day exists. I'm glad it's coming up. But, you know, there are families just like ours, husbands, wives, children. And part of their family life is having someone away from home for long stretches of time. So part of the, for me, conversation about what is a family, what's family life today, this is part of family life today.
Now, in the book, as I want to mention again, that the subject both of CTE and the subject of being a widow and having to face, I mean, because widowhood, so many of these people, and it's like what when we have all these police officers who have been killed, and you have to step back and you have to think, my gosh, they're leaving widows behind, and the trauma of that alone. So there's so many subjects in this book, and you deal with everything so deftly, so that it's like the writing is so good that one just wants to read it, you know, straight through, because you want to know the story, but you also find yourself stopping and thinking, wow, this is a very great insight, because you obviously have put a lot of thought and heart into the subject.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it takes a long time to write a book. You know, it's a big investment of time and energy. And for me, you know, I want to explore real things, things that I think about, hopefully things that other people will feel emotionally connected to. Even if it's not their specific life experience, everyone can relate to either being a parent or being in a relationship or dealing with loss or illness. You know, it's the human experience. And I think books are here to reflect our experiences back to us. They're here to help us work through our own day-to-day, you know, struggles or joys as human beings. So I appreciate you saying that. I think that's the goal of, you know, writing fiction in the first place.
And, of course, it's nice that now you've got this, you've got it going, that you are now a full-time writer, because you've had some nice success with your books. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, really is great, because I know that Forever Summer, which was a big hit, and now with this new book, I think that you're really making a mark here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, I do feel fortunate to be writing full time. It's something I always had dreamed of doing, wanted to do, never really knew if it would actually be, a reality. And I, as you mentioned, my literary agent earlier, Adam Cromie, is very supportive. And I've been doing a book a year for the past few seasons. I have another one coming out next spring and another one after that. So you know, hopefully I will, you know, continue to find an audience and build an audience. And I'm just as active a reader as I am a writer. You know, I love speech books. I love literary novels. I like thrillers. So I think there's just this big, wide writing community and reading community, and we're all connected. And I'm just so happy that's, you know, a big part of my life.
Now, speaking about reading, what are you reading? Who do you like to read?
Okay, well, I always read the newest Ellen Hildebrand book. So I was lucky enough to get an early copy of her new novel coming out in June called The Perfect Couple. And it's a beach book, but it's a murder mystery, and it's just amazing. So I just finished that. I just read a novel called My Ex-Life by an author named Stephen McCauley, and that's, it's also set in a coastal town, not necessarily beach, but it's a Cape Cod coastal town, about a kind of a unconventional makeshift family. So that was a good one. Those are my two most recent.
Well, you know, it's funny. I read so much, of course. I've read so much, and I do all the time. But just last week, I said, you know, I have to step back, and I went back and I read Charlotte Bronte, Jane Eyre, and I thought,
yes,
wow, this is, you know, when you look at the classics and you say, why are they classics? It's because people can read them years later. They're almost time, you know, they are timeless, because although they're talking about an era that is long gone, there's something beautiful in the writing that keeps us wanting to go back. And so when I was reading your book, I was thinking, wow, will people want to read this book later, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And I was thinking, yes, I think so. I think that book, because it sets a time in our life where we are in society, where we are facing the impact of military life, because in, you know, 100 years from now, it's going to be a lot different. And also the CTE. And I think people will want to go back and have a look at that time period. And because your writing will hold up. It's very, very fine writing.
Thank you, Patsy. I really appreciate that. That means, from someone who reads everything like you yourself, that means the world to me. So I appreciate it.
Well,
Sorry.
I know. I get excited when I find a writer like you.
Thank you. And I was going to say, I agree. I think this spring and summer is a great time for rereading. I do the same thing.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about Adam, because I'm trying to get him on the program, and he's being shy, but, you know, he can't be shy with me, because you have to tell him that I don't bite, generally speaking, and I love the guy. I love the guy.
So believe me, he's not shy. I think he just is very serious about his job, like behind the scenes with authors. And I think it's like he's just so focused on that. That's probably, you know, when he's ready to put that away for a second and maybe talk about himself or his work. But he's so engaged. And, you know, I have a lot of author friends, and I know not all of their agents are as involved in their work as he is in his clients' work. And it's not just with Season Airs where he came up with the concept. You know, he's always my first reader. He's an early reader. He has a great understanding of what story is supposed to be. And I think a lot of aspiring writers go to writing classes and they think about, you know, the words or the poetry of language, and that's important. But without the right structure and without the right pacing of the story, none of that really matters. And he taught me everything I know about what it means to have a story that really moves, that holds up, that pays off in the end. And I think that's like his absolute greatest gift.
Well, he is, and he is able to find real talent. Of course, Jenna King is great, and The Seasonaires is one that I expect to see on television. But yeah. I think that The Husband Hour is, I hope it will become a film, because I think it will be a very, you know, interesting film. So I'm sure maybe somewhere along the line he's working on that too, because I think he's a busy guy.
Yes, he is. Trust me, yes. Lots going on. But, yeah, it's funny. People say, I have had a lot of people say I'd love to see this as a movie. And, you know, of course, that's a dream. But I'm happy right now just to have it out in the world as a book. And I really appreciate all of your amazing feedback. And you clearly read it in the most deep and thoughtful way. And that just, all any author can ask for.
Well, I was a screenwriter, so I do, when I see a book that I could, that I would love to make into a movie, because there are so many great dramatic scenes in this book. I hope that someone will pick it up, because I think it's really great.
Thank you.
Now, of course, let's talk a little bit about, you were an agent yourself for a while?
Yeah, I worked in book publishing in various capacities for almost 20 years before I began writing. And one of those jobs was as a literary agent.
But it's a difficult job, because people think that being a literary agent's real easy. You find a book and you call up some publisher and say, mm-hmm. publish this book because I like it. But it doesn't exactly work out that way.
No, it's not easy, because you don't get, well, few people have a perfect project land in their lap. You usually see something that maybe has potential, and you often have to work to get it into shape, to even begin to send it out to publishers. And the process of doing that is what gave me the nerve to try to become an author myself, because I realized books don't just come out perfectly out of the gate, that there's always people around who give notes and edits and shape it. And then I thought, okay, I don't have to be perfect. There's no magic to this. So seeing the work that goes into getting something out into the world let me, you know, try myself.
Well, I think that one of the things that when you're an agent, you have to have that ability to see the value in a project. But then there's all sorts of really difficult work that goes on behind the scenes, and so I can see that it's easier in many ways to just be in control of one little thing, that is writing the book, and then letting somebody else help you with all of this other thing.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting observation. For me, it was frustrating in some ways to have to try to get things going and not really be the one behind the wheel myself. But there's some, you know, plenty of agents, probably the best agents, don't have any interest in writing. That they, their process, you know, what they do best, what they love to do, is getting things in shape and sort of, oh, it's almost like being a producer of a film, you know, like you're putting a lot of pieces together to get the book out in the world. I wasn't great at that. I mean, I love reading. I could, like, tell when something was kind of good, but I didn't have the complete skill set to be a great agent like Adam is.
Well, to be a great agent, you have to be like the ultimate multitasker,
because That's right.
You have to know the business, you have to know writing, and mostly I think you have to know human psychology, because you have to deal with so many different types of writers and their problems and all of the sort of angst that comes along with being a writer.
Yeah, there's that, but there's also the fact that the book getting published isn't the end of the line. It's just the beginning of the line. And I think what a lot of aspiring writers have no way of knowing, and I had no way of knowing, is that the real work starts when that book hits the bookstore. And that is an endless part of the job, and the agent is involved in that as well, as you know, you can see from your contact with Adam. So it's, there's just so many pieces to having a productive book career that are beyond just getting the story on the page.
Well, I got such a wonderful email from Adam telling me about you. And I had already read, you were not unfamiliar to me because I had already read Forever Summer, but then I think so many people had already read Forever Summer. And so I was just happy to be reminded of you and that, you know, you had the new book coming out, because it's just so wonderful when I get an agent who writes to me so enthusiastically, and he was telling me, you know, not only what a great writer you are, but what a great person you are. And so I was really taken by that.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice. I mean, I appreciate that.
Now, you know, for my listeners, I have so many people who are indie authors, and this is one of the things that, of course, they have to do. They have to promote their books completely by themselves. So it is great when you have, you know, a great agent and also a great publisher.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really takes a lot of cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, to get this done. And I'm very fortunate to work with Little Brown, because really the right publisher can make all the difference. You can write the best book in the world, but if it's not out there, if it's not, people don't know about it or they can't find it, you know, what good is it? So I know not every writer has a big publisher. Not every writer has to have a big publisher. For me, I needed that type of partnership to publish the way I had hoped to publish. But there's no one way to do it. And I know there are people who have made careers self-publishing books or working with a small press, and that's just a whole different process and ballgame. But it can be done.
Oh, absolutely. Now, do you have, are you going to, you're on a book tour? You've been talking about your book. Have you been doing a book tour?
Yes, I do. It starts, the book came out April 25th, and I'm basically doing events every week throughout the end of July, I think, at this point. So, and then at some point, I have to calm it down because I have to start my next book that I'm working on. But yeah, I have a website, and my tour dates are listed on there, jamiebrenner.com. But I'm going to a lot of places throughout the whole summer.
Well, one of the another suggestion here for you, because I'm as I said, my life has all often been in sort of the promotion business, and one of the things I want was happy when a romance author told me that one of the things that happened to her, now she's an indie author, she went to a book fest, and a military person was there, and they did a selfie together, and this military person happened to have a very, very wide you know, group of Twitter followers, and she started tweeting about this her book, and in very short time, and the Twitter just went out to everybody in the military, and this girl was hearing from people, military people in Afghanistan, in, you know, Korea, Germany, Iraq, that they were getting the book because of one Twitter taken with a military personnel. So I think you have to also attend military type of events and meet with them and get the book promoted that way.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, definitely the goal is to reach as wide an audience as possible. And I've had military wives reach out to me because they're hearing about the book. And I think things, you know, have their own momentum. But doing events it's true. You never know who's going to be in the audience. And I'm always surprised by the people who reach out to me afterwards or come up to me with their thoughts on the book. I've had film people come up to me. So that's the, as hard as it is to travel a lot and to maintain a tour, it is the people that you meet along the way that, that help make things, make the book have a long life. So I absolutely agree. That's part of the process.
Now, do you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, my website is jamiebrenner.com, and my bookstore dates are on there, all my contact information, info about the book, some background about how I became a writer in my biography section. So I definitely welcome people to visit that.
Okay, and I hope that you're going to have be able to take some time. I know you have two daughters.
I do. I have two teenage daughters.
So you're going to take some summer time with them. Probably you guys sit around reading books on the beach.
One of them reads, the other one doesn't, but yeah. That's a whole other issue.
Well, you know, it's wonderful that you've come out with this book. I think, as I said, I was happy that, that the dedication was to our military personnel here, just in time here for Memorial Day. It's a great read, and I want people to remember your name. It's Jamie Brenner. The Husband Hour is the new book. And then once they finish that, they can go and go back in time a little bit and get Forever Summer, because that's also a great book. So they can find your books online, wherever books are sold, and they can also go to your website. So, Jamie, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I think that...
Oh, Kathy, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Well, I, as I said, I get excited when I read somebody whose work I really admire and that I feel has a long staying power. And, you know, not too long ago, I talked to Mary Higgins Clark, and, you know, she's 90 years old now. And still going strong with her summer reading books.
Oh, I know. She's unbelievable. An icon, that woman.
And it's nice to know, isn't it nice that writing is that type of a job that you can keep going forever?
Yes.
And having fun. And that's why I call this program Joy on Paper, because for both the writer who finds that joy of putting words on paper and for the reader who can share in that joy, it is so important that we promote reading, and I hope that everybody will get the book and also go to their library this summer and just stock up on books and do some really great beach reading.
Well, Patsy, thank you for everything you do to put readers and writers together. We need that. We don't have enough of it, and I'm really grateful for the work that you do.
Okay, and when you see Adam next, give him a kiss from Patsy with a Z. Because I love
him.
I love
him. You got it.
I think he's terrific. And that's what we need also. We need great literary agents who find talent like you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye, Jamie.
Bye, Patsy.
Okay. Whoa. This is... Well, as I said at the start of the interview... I was sitting in the studio. There was somebody recording before me, and I'm sitting there. And I should have known better because I just went back and I read the last three pages, and they are so beautifully written. But I started crying, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get on this on the program and just start sobbing. But it is a very moving book, and for anyone who is interested in sports, the hockey part is interesting, and of course the military part. So this book has a lot in it, and I hope that you will get it. It's called The Husband Hour, and I just think, you know, we all look for summer books, and sometimes, you know, I like light reading, and this is light with depth. So I think you will enjoy this book. Now, what else is happening? Oh, I want to again ask everybody, please go to Facebook. I am trying to get better on Facebook. I did a wonderful video on Facebook. So if you go there and look at my Facebook, it's Radio Joy on Paper. Everybody's liked this video. It's just a moment of calm. That's what I am calling it, a moment of calm. And that's sometimes what you need, a moment of calm. Just calm down and maybe turn off the television, because that will not make you calm. Just relax, find a book, go to the library, or go online and pick up one of these wonderful books. You can go to my webpage, radio-joy on paper, and you will see some of my recent interviews. And there you will have a list of the books that you should get for this summer. So that's another thing that you can do. And what else? I have so many things that I want to, programs that I want to do in the near future. And one of them will be a complete hour of Jeffrey Deaver. I've been promising you that, but I have so many writers who are, want to be on the program. So I almost sometimes don't have enough time, but I want really to spend some time looking into Jeffrey Deaver's writing, and particularly his last book, because there's a lot to be learned from reading this book, and I hope that I will schedule that coming up. And I also have some military books coming up for D-Day and also for 4th of July. So again, Memorial Day is coming up, and I want everybody to have books to read that will, as this book, The Husband Hour, not only honors the military, but helps us understand better what our vets are going through when they come home, so that we can be thoughtful and kind and generous with our donations to various military organizations. So I'm very happy that I had Jamie Brenner on today. I think she's going to turn out to be one of those writers who has a very long-lasting career, because she's a very talented writer. And meanwhile, just remember that, you know, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're lucky, to have them made into a movie. And then someday you will hear lights, camera, action. And meanwhile, again, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He's always so good to me, and I really appreciate it. He's saluting me, I'm saluting him, and I wish I had been a military person myself, because then people would salute me. If I had been in the military, I'd be a general today. That's what I think. Okay, bye-bye now.